Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for your time this evening. Let's try and make some sense of all this mess. Rebecca Kay, I'll start with you. You're a Muslim woman, you were at the protest. People want to know, why bring this issue and this violence to our streets?
I think that we need to look at the issue of why the protest was organised in the first place. It was supposed to be a peaceful protest. I was there with my children. We were down there to spread awareness on our anger towards this video that has been made about our beloved Prophet Muhammad.
Uthman Badar, you're the spokesperson for Hizb ut-Tahrir. First of all, just explain to us, what's your group about?
Well, we're a global Islamic political party. We operate in over 40 Muslim countries and in many Western countries as well. And our stated objective is to re-establish the caliphate or Islamic governance in the Muslim world as a way of positive change to get rid of these dictators, which we see now in the uprisings, and to establish representative accountable governance based on Islam.
Did Hizb ut-Tahrir have anything to do with this protest?
Absolutely nothing. We weren't organising it. We weren't there. We've been busy all week with our conference, which we had yesterday, a very successful conference, packed crowd, to discuss the issues that I've mentioned about the uprisings and the Muslim world and the way forward.
Randa Abdel Fattah, you're a Muslim author, a lawyer and human rights activist. How much damage has this done to the Muslim community in Australia?
Well, unfortunately, I think that the actions of a minority have really tarnished, once again, all the good work and solidarity that's in the majority Muslim community. And Muslim women have gone out today to their workplaces, walking on the streets, once again feeling that they are under the spotlight, that they are being judged by the unfortunate actions of a minority. And years of good work, again, have pulled us back.
Jo Hildebrand from News Limited, social commentator and columnist. Were you surprised that this happened?
Look, I wasn't entirely surprised that it ended up being violent, which it shouldn't have been and wasn't intended to be. But I think once you've got that sort of, wave of things happening sort of all over the world, and I've, being a student rat bag in my younger days, there's always an element in a crowd. I remember having to pull off, rabid socialists who just wanted to pick a fight with cops when we were at a rally protesting against upfront fees, for God's sake. So there's always going to be elements in a crowd that try to hijack a peaceful protest, either because they want to get on the news or because they think that, they want to twist what's actually happening into something else. I think in this case, what is more scary is the fact that what is being protested against is so far removed from what's happening in Australia, is so far removed from Muslim and non-Muslim relations in Australia. I mean, for the most part, it's an incredibly successful experiment. We're a multicultural society where everyone gets along. Everyone loves kebabs. We're a happy, cohesive society. And what these people are clearly trying to do is change the world to fit their warped worldview. So they've got this idea that Muslims are at war with non-Muslims, and it's not actually true in Australia. Apart from the odd little flare-up, that's absolute bollocks. So what they're trying to do is actually start a war, and then when it flares up, say, see, I told you so.
Jalal, why did you go to the protest?
Well, it's a natural reaction for every human being to feel about our Prophet Muhammad, because he was our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was a father. He was the best of fathers. He was the best of husbands. And even God in the Quran said about him that he was of great moral character. And this is our Prophet Muhammad. And even if you're a practicing Muslim or non-practicing Muslim, we love him. He's in our heart. Nobody can take him away from us. He's in our heart. We love our Prophet Muhammad.
Why did you go to the protest?
I went to the protest so I can make people aware that this is even that this sort of behavior is not on. Like to mock a prophet, that's in the name of freedom of speech. I don't accept that.
Rebecca, then what do you say about Joe's point, following off on Jalal's anger of what's been said about your prophet, that this is far removed from the streets of Australia? Why bring this issue to the streets of Australia for something that is so far removed?
I don't disagree. I disagree that it is far from Australia, because we are Muslims too. Regardless if we're Australian or not, we still feel the same passion for our beloved prophet. I think there's many issues underlining here. I just don't think this movie is solely the reason for some of this flare-up as well.
I don't think it's... I don't think that the impetus for the protest was the film. It was a trigger. It was a proxy for a far more deep-seated sentiment amongst the Muslim community about a whole range of issues, whether that be the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, the drone attacks in Yemen and Pakistan, the Israeli occupation of Palestine. Mm. It was clearly a larger issue, and this really trashy, very bad film was a trigger. Yes, there are some people who attended with the intention of, as they say, honouring the prophet, but I find that to be a distorted logic in and of itself, because while I completely, as a citizen of a democratic country, support the right of anyone to protest peacefully, I don't think it was constructive in these circumstances to give cheap publicity to what would have lampooned into oblivion. The real issue for a lot of people is that it was a trigger for a far, you know, deeper seated issues about what's going on overseas. And from my point of view personally, there are other ways that you can engage with the community about these sorts of issues. From my point of view, what I find so depressing about what's happened is that, for example, yesterday was the 30th anniversary of the Sabra and Shatila refugee camp massacres in Lebanon. It has been completely overshadowed by this protest. So for anybody who was at that protest, who cares about human rights, to then stand up and say, I was there because I cared about human rights, you have detracted attention away from such an important anniversary. Job well done.
Maha Abdu, you're from the United Women's Muslim Women's Association. I want to talk to you about the disturbing image of the child with the sign, behead those who insult our prophet. What was your reaction to that?
It was a sigh. You know, words can't describe how I felt when I saw that image spread all over the news on Saturday afternoon. And it made me think about the what our prophet stands for. He was sent as a mercy to humankind, and yet we are claiming otherwise. So, and to see the image of a child holding that sign just breaks my heart. As a mother and as a grandmother and as a community leader, and working so hard over the last 30 years at the grassroots level, seeing the pain and agony and frustration amongst women trying to bring out young, you know, viable Australian citizens in a country, and yet this image just really detracts people from the real Islam and the meaning that it's supposed to be. So there's no words to describe it.
Jalal, what was your reaction to that sign?
A lot of people were just heated up and just sick of a series of other events. You know, it wasn't just that. It wasn't just the movie that was made. It was a series of other events that just flared up. You know, like for example, the burning of the Quran inside Iraq and Afghanistan. They burnt a lot of Qurans. They done other stuff that I don't want to mention to the Quran. I don't agree with that sign. No, I don't agree with that sign. But a lot of people, they are very emotional people, and some people, like in the biology of a human being, some people react differently than other people. Some people react educationally. Some people react intellectually, and some people react through their physical means. That's just how the biology of human being is, of the human anatomy. That's how some people react.
Uthman, Hizbut Tahrir has been described by Tony Abbott as preaching hate. When you see a child with a sign like that, what's your reaction?
And I'll be very frank. My reaction is that there's the sense of perspective that some panellists have mentioned is completely missing here. So For example, not only Tony Abbott, but the Prime Minister, you know, said, I was disgusted by this sign, preaching to us about non-violence and the merits of non-violence. Mm-hmm. These are the same people that, I mean, this is a poster being held up. It's inappropriate. I don't disagree with that. This is a poster being held up. These are the people that send fighter jets, B-52 bombers and troops to actually behead people in Afghanistan and Iraq.
That's right.
So we're missing the whole perspective here. Yes, there's individuals, they do the wrong thing, mm-hmm. right? But there's an environment that's created, an Islamophobia that's created by media, by politicians, that gives rise to all of this. Now we're meant to say, you guys all get off scot-free, and everyone condemn these guys, blame them, they're the problem. They're not the problem. This film, we can look at it two ways. We can say, you know, a random B-grade film made by some random person in America has made the entire Muslim world erupt. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. Doesn't work that way. Or we can say, no, it's a trigger to much deeper issues. Let's talk about them. And when we talk about them, we should be very clear that those who need to be condemned very severely are the politicians, are the governments, and who are actually causing the environment that leads to this sort of stuff.
I don't disagree with you, Uthman, but I think the issue is that if it had just been a peaceful protest, then that would have validated what you said, because then we could have talked in a peaceful way about these issues. Unfortunately, the reason that we're here today and the reason this has captured the attention of the nation for the whole weekend and probably for many weeks to come is because there was that ugly, violent element and people, unfortunately, were completely dishonouring the memory and history of the Prophet and example of the Prophet Muhammad and carrying such posters. So we need to accept and admit that unfortunately there are elements of the community who are dishonouring the memory of the Prophet and unfortunately detracting from the real substantive issues, because no one's going to talk about the foreign policy issues now, they're going to talk about those signs.
I was there and there was a lot of emotions running wild, and it takes two people to tango. So just as much as the Muslim people were aggressive, the police force were just equally as aggressive.
Okay, can you see any justification though in a child holding a sign like that?
Well,
any
to tell the truth, okay, I personally believe that that sign was left on the floor for that child to pick it up, okay? We don't even know who that mother is. We don't even know if she speaks English or not or could even read that sign, okay? So let's not make assumptions about the mother and the child when no one knows who she is or she's had her chance to speak, okay? It's not guilty until it's innocent until proven guilty, right? So let's give her the opportunity to come forward and defend her actions, okay? There's no point in saying... making assumptions.
And I mentioned that even just yesterday there was also news out of Perth that there were riots, 500 teenagers going crazy, breaking the ambulance vans, throwing bottles at police. That news is not going to get anywhere near much as coverage as this news. So when we say that, you know, the substantive issues are not going to be discussed, why not? It's not because of those guys. It's because those who actually have power in society want to focus on some issues and not others.
So, I think, Joe, you're in the news cycle every day.
Yeah, I think I have to call bullshit on a lot of this. Firstly, there have been plenty of cases when people have riots. When the Cronulla riots happened, that was a bunch of white people. That got absolute blanket coverage and it got blanket condemnation. And the same sorts of pathetic justifications for it. That whole, oh, look, you know, I don't think we should have been glassing anyone with dark skin. But, you know, they had been playing football on the beach, but they had been in a fight with a lifeguard, or, you know, they had been, you know, wandering around in gangs, or they had been gang raping. Who? They weren't the same people who were being bashed. I mean, some of the people who were bashed in the Cronulla riots were a couple of Bangladeshi students who were being bashed because they were Lebanese. I mean, that's the worst kind of racism. The worst kind of racism is similar here, when you've got, you know, protesters beating up, you know, police or holding violent signs or calling for random people to be beheaded because of something that's happening in Iraq or Afghanistan or a YouTube video that was posted in America. Now, the idea that you just, you know, wage war on civil society in Australia generally because you believe that something wrong is happening by other people is ridiculous. It's like saying that, you know, all white people are to blame or all non-Muslims are to blame for a particular public policy, say, for example, in Iraq, which half of Australians don't even support. I mean, were the people who were rioting there, who were being violent there, were they going up and asking each individual police officer where he or she personally supported the war in Iraq? And then when they said, oh, yes, I do, all right, then, now we'll go, yeah? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Let's talk
There's
about
no
the
excuse
violence
for this
on
violence.
Let's talk about the violence. You say it was meant to be a peaceful protest. That's why you took your children there. That's why you went there. How did the violence start?
I went there as an activist and a community spokesperson to go and see what was happening so that I could speak for my community in the future. I did stand back a lot because I have two very young children. I believe that, this sounds so silly, the protest, we marched from Town Hall to Martin Place, and then there was a massive police blockade in front of the embassy. Now, no one would have known that was the embassy unless there was, you know, if them 300 police officers didn't stand there. I know it sounds ridiculous.
So who started the violence?
Well, I don't know who started the violence. I know that there was yelling and screaming, and then capsicum spray was pulled out, and that infuriated a lot of people because their emotions were running very high.
There's violence, but that doesn't explain the signs and the slogans. We have to own up to the fact that there are people in the community who dragged Islam's name through the mud. Mm-hmm. And no amount of trying to put things into context excuses that. Okay, there was violence, and we can question the heavy-handed tactics of the police, but that doesn't explain how someone can get into a protest purportedly to defend Islam and carry a sign that says something like...
What about that sign there that says, I love the Prophet Muhammad?
Yeah, so it's about focus, about what you choose to pick up.
It's exactly right, because there was...
And say when something is wrong and when something is right.
I think there's a wrong misgiving, Zeddy. We're being very clear, we do not condone violent protests.
That's right.
So I think the implication that we're justifying is completely wrong. We want to talk about the issues for a solution. This has happened, it's happened before. Things like this will happen again, whether it's a film, whether it's some other issue that blows things out of proportion. And if we just say we condemn this guy, we condemn everywhere, that's not going to solve anything.
But Maha, you've been waiting to have a say on this. I can see you trying to dive in on this. Is this the way to have the say?
Look, can I say, I've been in marches and protests and rallies since the early 90s against the Gulf War, and I've marched on various occasions, I can say hundreds of marches and rallies, and never have I experienced that in the name of Islam. Mm. We've marched in a way where we've expressed our concerns, we've expressed our frustration and anger together as a community, and have done that very well. But what I see here is that, yes, there were, beautiful, peaceful signs, but always you only see the black dot in the page. Why should I allow a black dot in that page? And Islam condemns any kind of, reaction to that sort of, in that way. I understand everyone went with the purest of intentions. Please, we're not here to measure anyone's intentions or to doubt anybody's intentions. I think here it's about when we organise rallies, how do we organise them? Where is the leadership in organising the way we've done them in the past? There's leaders who organise them. There's people who are out there protecting those people walking in the protest. In there, I saw people walking into the Pitt Street Mall. Since when do we as protesters walk in amongst shoppers? That is unheard of.
Okay, what's the next step? What does this say about our Muslim community? How are we going to constructively engage with these issues? Are we just going to get out and be the angry man on the street? Is that our only defence mechanism? Is that our only knee-jerk response? Or are we actually going to do something constructive and engage in community work, grassroots work? If you're going to complain about the media, and I have had my fair share of knockbacks and banging my head against the wall and trying to get a different narrative across in the media, but how many people there have attempted to write a letter to the editor or written to their local MP? I think we need to talk more about, as a Muslim community, are we just going to be a community that's defined in terms of resisting ideas, or can we actually engage positively? And we are, and you're right, there's always the focus on the negative, it's happening, but we have to try and raise our voices against that negative element in the community.
Joe, can the damage be undone?
Look, it can be, but it's just going to be much, much harder. I mean, Rana, of course, is absolutely right. She's a regular columnist for the Daily Telegraph, by the way, and a very articulate one. The problem is, and I think this is, I really don't like the sort of, yes, it was violent, but sort of thing. There can be no excuse for that kind of violence.
Can there be an excuse for the insult to the Prophet? Because all we heard from politicians was, look, we don't like it, we don't agree with it, but... Freedom of expression.
The idea that, because some guy made a video in California and therefore there's violence on the streets of Australia is like if your next door neighbour kills your dog, so you go over the road and kill the guy over the road's car.
Hang on here.
That's ridiculous.
If someone insulted your grandmother, if someone insulted your grandfather, how would you react to it?
I would not react to it by going and hurting a completely random person. I wouldn't react to it by going and belting some stranger on the street.
I think here we're not saying we are standing silently and doing inactive a work in seeing people insulting the Prophet, peace be upon him. I think there are many ways and strategies to deal with that. We're not standing idle and doing that, as Rando and everyone expressed. Mm. There are many means to an end that justifies it. We do not stand and allow anyone to insult the Prophet, peace be upon him, or Jesus, be upon him, or Moses, for that matter. So I think collectively we can do that much better.
Jalal, can I ask you, how did you find out about the protest?
It was
SMSs going around.
It was a SMS.
I got a text message too.
It was a text message.
Where did they come from?
Oh, friends.
Yeah.
They go viral. They just get sent. Everyone gets sent.
I think I can say quite confidently that the vast majority of the Muslim community here and around the world have protested peacefully. Whether it be making videos, in the UK they gave out biographies of the Prophet so people can know who this man was. Friday sermons, I had a press conference on Thursday to talk about the issue. So again, there's a few that do something else. Who decides where the focus is? So what I'm suggesting is we can critique the powerless all day and not get anywhere, or we can focus our critique on those who actually have power and can make a difference.
I totally understand that, but this is the nature of the beast, so don't feed it. So don't give them ammunition. Again, look inward at our community and let's think, how can we constructively engage with these issues? And the majority are, and the majority of Islamic organisations have condemned the violence and come out in a very unified way to stand up and say, this was unacceptable. We, of course, we have the right to peacefully protest, but that element was unacceptable. So it's heartening to see that that has happened. But again, let's look inward and say, what's the next step forward? Are we just going to constantly protest? Is that all we have to offer, or can we do other things?
But where were these leaders 5 days ago when we found out about this movie? Where were they?
The films have been out, Rebecca, for much longer.
So why didn't they go back to their community and speak to these people that need spiritual guidance, that need some person who's been there and done that to give them some advice?
So is this what you're lacking here? Are you lacking leadership?
I totally think that the leaders in our community are too busy with their own agendas and not worried about getting down on a grassroots level and speaking with their community.
Do we all agree that the message that was...
Not all of them. Most.
Okay.
A lot. Sorry, sister. Not talking about you.
Do we all agree here that the message that the protest was trying to get across, whichever message that was lost because of the events that unfolded, because of the placards, because of the violence? Has the message been completely lost? Was it a waste of time to go and do that protest the way it turned out?
It made us look like we're barbaric people.
Yeah, I think it was diluted in so many ways that, true, you know, we're not in a position to clearly state our concerns right now. That's why we're here.
Joe, how do we get the message across? How do these people get their message across?
Well, I think the really unfortunate thing is that the message that some of the protesters, the really more extreme ones who are in a tiny minority but do, you know, have the, you know, the thuggish people always, you know, win out in situations like this. The message they're trying to get across is that there is a war between Islam and non-Islamic people. And that is what these sorts of scenes are intended to create. So the broader community looks at this and thinks wrongly, but perhaps understandably from those images, that yes, Islam is a barbaric religion or Islam is a violent religion. We know that that's not true. We know that the vast majority of Muslims are an extremely peaceful people, and that the Quran preaches a message of peace, largely. What's happened here is that the worst possible result has come about. So. Again, it's you know, you have these crazy sort of simple, extreme-minded people who hijack a peaceful process to create a situation of violence and you know, hostility, and then when that comes back as it's intended, they say, "Oh, see, I told you, you know, this is what non-Muslims think of us, so therefore we've got to fight back again," and it feeds this horrible, but it creates a firestorm that's self-perpetuating, and that's unfortunate.
Jalal, let me ask you this. The next time that your religion is insulted, or you're personally insulted, your community is insulted, how are you going to react?
Well, even before I decided to go, I had the intention of peace, you know. That was my intention. My intention was to go there peacefully. My intention was to go there and make it loud and clear, peace in peaceful means, that our prophet should not be defamed. His character should not be defamed.
But it's very easy for, say, like Joe, no offence, Joe, to say that, because you have restrictions against your religion. You can't say anything bad about Jewish people. We don't have them kind of protections.
I'm not Jewish.
Oh, aren't you?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Sorry,
but there's...
I think that speaks to the danger of applying presumptions to people based on how they look or based on their point of view. That's what I'm trying to talk about is the dislocation. No one here is talking about actually taking the fight or taking the argument to the person who made the video or the people who are the policy makers for sending people to...
Why can't YouTube take it off the air?
You can't hold an entire race responsible for the actions of an individual.
I think we should be putting our energy and our intellect, ability together with the rest of the Australian society in a way to really try to get legal advice about removing the video, for instance. That's one solution for that particular aspect of the concerns that the protest was supposed to be marching in peace for.
Unfortunately, Mahab, like with all due respect, there are many far more worse things online about Islam and Prophet Muhammad. So I feel that the solution is not to look outward. It's as Muslims to look back at our faith and to think, are we actually representing the moral and ethical values of Islam when we behave in that way? What is the best response? It's not to act out of emotion and anger, because there was a lot of stupidity there. And the clearest sign of that is that you have given attention to a film that nobody would have noticed. So clearly it's a very basic issue of common sense, how do we respond, and checking our anger and emotions and dealing with things in an intellectual way.
I fully agree with that. But I think it's about self-criticism, and we need to have the space as a community to self-criticise and listen critically to our young people, listen to their concerns and aspirations, and then find, you know, the solutions that comes from within, and not to be dictated to us by the external, you know, factors that are happening right now. I would love to have been sitting in a forum talking about future directions in, you know, led by young people in the community. But, and I think that will allow us to do that. Hopefully we will be able to go to that next step. But my, you know, having the experience for the last so many years being in protests and listening to the same thing, it's always those few, you know, minorities that get airtime and detract us from you know, expressing the concerns about the real issues, whether they're the real social issues that are impacting on the community, not just on the Muslim community, on women in case of domestic violence, on young people, on homelessness, on lack of housing, lack of transport. These are the issues that I think as Australian young people or community should be working towards, and that's detracting from that.
Uthman, what do you think is the answer? Is there a simple answer to solving this issue of understanding?
Look, I don't think it's about understanding, and this is why, for me, it's not about individuals, it's not about Muslims and non-Muslims. It's not that, it's about those institutions in society that actually have power. They're creating the environment in which then people are forced to take actions that then these type of things occur. The solution is to stop that. The solution is stop causing wars and invasion in other people's countries. Stop, you know, supporting dictators in other countries for decades and decades. These are people, you know, in Sudan, people protested outside the German embassy. Now, you can see they go, oh, these guys are just idiots. You know, you can be arrogant like that. You can understand what's happening. This is not an individual rational decision. It's a collective sentimental reaction to decades of oppression. So the solution is simple. To state it, to do it, it's going to take much longer, but you have to stop the oppression.
Joe, is that a realistic solution?
Well, no, it doesn't make any sense to start. I mean, for one thing, if you talk about, you know, liberating people from dictators so you can have a caliphate, the US and Australia liberated Libya from Colonel Gaddafi so that the new regime could take place. And the result of that was that the US ambassador got killed last week.
Come on, Joe, smarter than that.
Because of this video.
You're smarter than that. They helped get rid of Mubarak after supporting him for 4 decades. Libya, Gaddafi, the British had good relations.
So when they do the right thing and topple the regime you talk about, they still get killed.
It's not the right thing.
Is that what happens when it's a collective thing?
But it's not the right thing. You would have to be stupid to go, these guys put him there for 40 years and then... Now they're moving him. Why? They had a change of heart? These guys, it's not a charity organisation, the US administration. They're an imperial power.
So it doesn't matter if they kept him there, they'd be the enemy. If they removed him, they're the enemy. No, it doesn't matter.
No, it'd matter if they removed him to allow the people to do what they want. But they're just removing him.
In Egypt, so that's what's happening.
No. Well, is that the issue? See, Maha, is that the issue? You've just tried to bring the discussion back to the issue that we're talking about here. And is this part of the problem that it's very hard to focus on the one issue at hand because of the underlying tensions, because of the history, and because it's a global problem? Is that the biggest issue here?
Well, there are many issues, as we've known and we see, but we've just got to really dissect it in a way that it is within the ability that we have to work within as Australians and as Australian Muslims. And then I think if we really start understanding that there are multi-layers of issues that we can work with, then we can start to work and reach, you know, agreeable outcomes that can change the next step that we're going to be walking up the stairs. I would not like to jump from the first step right at the 10th level. Let's go up step by step so that we reach that global aspect of the world events that are affecting and having an effect on the way we are reacting, but still does not justify the reaction of violence.
The lawyer in me always looks at what's the practical outcome of this. And I think if the issue is the oppression and occupation, a protest is not going to stop that. It's hard work. I've been a part of the Palestinian freedom movement for a long time now, and it takes years of hard work to actually make changes in the grander narrative, in people's perceptions about what's going on. Attending a protest on a Saturday afternoon, that's not hard work. That's not even a real effort from my point of view. It's hard work that takes years and years of work if you want to change what's happening, foreign policy. It's not going to a protest, and it's certainly not holding banners like that and engaging that kind of horrible behaviour.
Rebecca, are you glad that you participated in that protest?
I wouldn't really say I participated. Like I said, I stood back a lot, and I actually left before anything.
Did it achieve anything in your eyes?
No, not really. People were talking about it in the street. There was a lot of mixed emotions. Some non-Muslim people vented their anger out towards myself, and then other people were interested in why they were protesting and asking questions about the relevance and how important this protest was. So I don't know if they would share the same views after watching it on TV, but what they seen from their eyes, they were not that concerned at all. They just thought that people were having their say, and that's it.
Is there a perception of hate?
Well, I believe, unfortunately, when people think of Islam, they think of a negative. They think of hatred, of violence, of an angry bearded man on the street. And unfortunately, a small segment validated that stereotype. And I would just make a plea to the general community not to judge us by a minority, just as we don't judge wider communities by a minority of their community.
I think there is a perception of hate, but again, where is it coming from? I'll give you a very good example. We had our conference yesterday in Western Sydney. 1,000 people came. We had an international speaker, Taji Mustafa from the UK. Tony Abbott's come out and said he's a preacher of hate. No evidence, nothing. They asked him where. Oh, I've been briefed, right? So, and this is the type of political opportunism, looking out for the extreme right wing fringe that he's trying to get in his electorate, and he doesn't know about the implications. So who makes more of a impact? Is it the opposition leader?
Totally agree.
Or is it, a bunch of guys who do the wrong thing in a protest?
And I have to agree totally with what he just said. On Friday, I had to defend the rights. I had to defend the rights of my religion yet again because some person did gender mutilation. Now, this is not a teaching of Islam, but still the media wants to portray it, and we as a community have to take responsibility for this person's actions. Why is it our responsibility for one person? At the end of the day, we're all human. We all want to live peacefully. This is our country too. We want peace. You know, we want to be here and we want to be able to live like everyone else.
But I think we're much more intelligent than that as an Australian community. I don't think that would have caused more hate in the community. I think it's caused a lot of more questioning. People want to understand, and that's up to us now to really, if we believe that Islam is about peace, then how do we really promote peace in a peaceful environment, even when we're push come to shove? How do we exercise patience, control and courage in expressing our concerns, expressing our fears as Australian Muslims, especially Australian Muslim women in a democratic society, and keeping the dignity intact?
Maybe if the media want to see community relations continue within Australia, they would like to do more encouraging pieces on Muslim people and their contributes to the Australian society.
We do. We had a Muslim woman in the paper on Saturday saying that the vast majority of Muslims were moderate and did not condone female genital mutilation.
Protests. We're not talking about the protests.
Well, you were talking about female genital mutilation before. We made it very clear that the Muslim community was overwhelmingly against it and had them speaking their own voice in the newspaper. Again, in regards to the protests, the media and us in particular have been very prominent in emphasising that all the mainstream media organisations have condemned it. And I think that's what needs to happen. There can't be sort of any equivocating. There can't be saying, oh, yes, some people went a bit too far, but there was provocation because of X, Y and Z. We're Australia, we're a civilised country, we're a democracy. When people say something we disagree with or even that we find offensive, we argue back, we have that public debate, exactly. We don't riot in the streets.
Can I say also then there can't be any equivocation on insults to the Prophet? You can't say that I dislike it, but it's okay, freedom of expression. Muslims will not tolerate that. We call on Muslims to respond, but peacefully, using intellectual and political means. The key, as others have said, I think is the way forward, how we go forward. If we're going to continue this approach where we turn a blind eye to people who destroy entire nations and then get all worked up about a handful of people who cause a riot in Sydney, you're not going to find a solution. It's absolute hypocrisy. Everyone can see it. Everyone knows there's a skeleton in the room. Nothing's going to happen. If that can change, then we can move forward.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for your time this evening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sira are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe. Share and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.